All right, 106. We'll take you till 2 o'clock, then we'll hand it off to World Cup. England-Wales, an abbreviated edition of The Drive will come your way following that at 4 this afternoon. Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, Graham, and Kenny Walls with you here on In the Box. Looking to track down Sens play-by-play voice here on TSN 1200, Dean Brown. Get his thoughts on the end of the road trip and the next one up for the Sens, which is tomorrow night at home against the New York Rangers. They'll be at MSG to take on the Rangers coming up on Friday. Then they're back home Saturday to face Erik Karlsson and the San Jose Sharks. And Karlsson continues his amazing start to the season amongst the league leaders in points in the NHL. And we'll see what he looks like coming up on Saturday here at Canadian Tire Center. As we look to track Dean down, something else I observed this morning, as we only began here at noon today on this abbreviated edition, Graham. So Tiger Woods had to pull out of his own event, the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, because of plantar fasciitis. And this is, even though it's not directly connected, it is on his bad leg. And so it causes tremendous pain, especially in the heel. He could sit there and hit shots, but walking around wasn't going to do it. So that's unfortunate. So we had a wide-ranging discussion with the media. And just as a general takeaway, what a different guy he is at this stage of his life than he was in Tiger prime. How open, sometimes gregarious, expanding on points, offering, firm opinions on things. He's at a different stage, obviously, that way. So there's my overall takeaway as I watch much of that news conference. But, man, he absolutely doubled down on what Rory McIlroy had to say, basically saying the questions were, how can LIV and the PGA Tour coincide? Well, number one, Greg's got to go. Went shark hunting right away, where Rory McIlroy said that, like, last week or the week before. Now Tiger Woods is basically, yeah, they got to fire Greg. There's no way that we can have any kind of conversation. There's two lawsuits happening right now. And the feeling is Greg Norman, people don't know the whole history here, Greg Norman for much of his playing life, he hasn't liked the PGA Tour ever, even when he played on it. He's never liked the PGA Tour. And now he really doesn't like the PGA Tour. And now you've got Tiger Woods basically saying, and his opinion still matters greatly in the golfing world, obviously. So, Tiger, how can you make this work with LIV? Well, fire Greg. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he said. That's this is going to get interesting now over the next little while. We're going to really find out because it's not up to him, right? It's up to the money behind the LIV Tour, the Saudis, and how they truly feel about Greg Norman. And where they want to take this thing next here. But just when you thought it couldn't get uglier, I think we could see this get a little bit uglier here. So I have no feel for which way this is going to go. But I'll tell you this. I've kind of turned on my my alerts on Greg Norman's Twitter account because he will be saying something in the near future.
Have you actually? You got the alerts on?
Oh, I have, yeah. Yeah.
Love it. I think I have one account that I have the alerts turned on for. That's pretty good, Lloydie. I'm with you, and it's hard to predict how that is going to end up playing out, but I think you can guarantee that there's going to be plenty of spice going forward with a number of players, not just the Greg Norman factor, but obviously Tiger, I think, feels that he owes a lot to the PGA Tour and is always going to go to bat for them and love the spice. I got to say, it's interesting. Well, now that we're about to enter a season with so many of the top guys that did leave, starting from square one rather than leaving at the end of the season or in the middle of the season or whatever, it'll be interesting to follow that. Follow along as what happens, and are there more people that are going to defect over? It'll be interesting to follow for sure.
He was also asked by one reporter who I thought asked the question tactfully, but basically was saying, is Phil Mickelson owed an apology by people that were maybe too hard on him because he's been taking, quote, most of the bullets on this, whereas maybe without that, the PGA Tour doesn't introduce all these doesn't introduce so much more money into some of the events. And Tiger said, nope, this is what happened there. We borrowed a lot of money, we as a tour, because of the pandemic. Tour came back a lot stronger, a lot faster, so we used that money to beef up the events. So, no, we don't owe Phil an apology. Was basically his take as well. You see what I mean? Like, Tiger would never... Earlier, right?
Well, he's beyond that point of his career. Like, and totally. I love it. I love
all out of bleeps to give. This is how I feel about things. I like this Tiger. It's good.
Who doesn't?
He also revealed he had two more surgeries this past year, during the year, and he was asked to elaborate on that. He said nope, but he had two more surgeries on that leg this past year, and he hopes to play in the four majors. And maybe a couple of other events. But the general takeaway from his whole availability was that leg is on borrowed time. It's quite clear. He doesn't know how much longer he's going to be able to keep going. He's just trying to squeeze every little bit out before he just won't be able to play professional golf at all because of the shape of his leg, which is too bad. So anyways, if you want to see or hear a bunch of that, I'm sure you will. On SportsCenter, you can find it online, what have you. But it was one of those availabilities. You don't have to be a golf fan to go, wow, a couple of times about how frank he was. It was quite something. All right, looking to track down Dean. In the meantime, other things that we can hit on here. Oh, Dean is here. We found him. We found Dean Brown. Let's get to Dean, the voice of the Ottawa Senators here on TSN 1200. Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm doing well, boys. How about you?
Good. How was said road trip, and how much nicer was the flight home? It's a long day yesterday, knowing the mood that everybody was in coming off a couple of wins, but in particular, the most recent win in L.A.
Yeah, you know, just any competitive person is a happier person when they're winning. So, yeah, it was, but they weren't popping champagne bottles or anything. To be honest with you, most of the guys are young, which means, like any young person, whether they're a professional athlete or not, they like to sleep. So long flight like that, there's more sleep than there is anything else. But, you know, there is definitely a different mood around the team when the team wins.
I got to go back to that overtime goal. You called it. We played it several times during the post-game show. People fired up about the level of skill all around. What were you thinking when you were watching and calling that play happen?
Well, number one, Creature, I didn't think he was going to backhand it out of there. that's not generally a play that Tim makes. You know, we've all seen him many, many times. He likes to hold on to the puck. He likes to possess the puck. He likes to, you know, move. He likes to make people miss. He likes to do. Not often do you see him, you know, catch a guy out of the corner of his eye and, you know, try a 70-foot backhand, you know. But it worked, and it just, you know, it just shows the skill level that he has. You know, he can make those plays. But I think, you know, at least for me, I think one of the things that worked to his advantage was the fact that Claude Giroux was smart enough to find a seam and know that his two teammates were going to, you know, make a play to win a battle so you'd have the opportunity to make the backhand. Because let's face it, you know, with Giroux way behind everybody else, if they don't win that puck battle, you're shorthanded in your own zone, and it's a long way for Claude to get back. So I think that showed a lot of trust in Claude Giroux and the ability to get where he could receive a pass and then hope that Stützle sees him. And if he doesn't see him, what's the worst that can happen? You know, you're going to beat the icing call, and you're going to get down there, and you're going to have possession in the offensive zone, but it's not the same as a breakaway. So it was, for me, I got to tell you, calling the game, it was unexpected, but it was good. It was good to see. It was a beautiful play.
Now, be honest, as you're calling it in the moment, and I think that DJ kind of alluded to that fact in his availability earlier this morning, Dean, as well, Stützle made a heck of a play to shield the puck from Kopitar, because that was a bad play. That was a miscommunication between Chabot and Stützle. That had giveaway written all over it. And like right away, when that puck started to get moved, you're thinking, oh, boy, this game might be over. I think Kopitar's getting that puck. It's going to go out in front, and it's done. But you got to give credit to Stützle to shield the puck from a much bigger man, spin, and then for somehow see Giroux from that distance, and then put it on his tape with that sauce backhand over three zones. It went from, I thought the game was going to be over the other way until, what, a second and a half later, the Sens win. That's the margin right there. It was giveaway, game over, or hey, great play, game over.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe we'll see over the, you know, over the longer term if this is what I think it is. But I think that's a step forward for Tim Stützle in the area of puck protection, because, you know, none of us are fooling ourselves. You're watching the game. You see how many times he gives the puck away. You know, it happens a lot, but he's one of those guys. He's got such a high skill level. You'll live with it because of so many other great plays that he can make. And then you just try to work on his, you know, spatial awareness, understanding when he's under pressure, number one. Number two, you know, him learning how to deal better with the cutback, because he's always going to be facing back pressure, and sometimes he surprised the guys there. The guy's always going to be there, Tim. They always put back pressure on the best players, and guess what? You're one of the best players. So, you know, he's getting better at those things, but by no means is he anywhere close to being in the running for the Selke Trophy. But you see, against a bigger man in Anze Kopitar, and clearly a far more experienced man in Kopitar, he was successful in protecting the puck to make a play. And so I look at that as a step forward for him. And I'm not saying that, you know, tomorrow night against the Rangers, that means he's not going to, you know, give the puck away in some dangerous areas. I'm not going to pretend that, you know, he's perfect in that area yet. He's not. We all see that. But it's all those little steps. And when you make the right play like that, and then you have success, that kind of burns it into the memory banks. You know, remember last time I did that and I protected the puck? That protection created a goal that won a game. You know, so it further helps, especially the offensive players, really understand what coaches say to them over and over and over again. And sometimes young guys don't get the connection. You know, when they say defense creates offense. You know, for an offensive player like Tim Stützle to have that kind of success based on the fact that he was able to protect the puck against a bigger, more experienced player to be able to make a play that turns into a game-winning goal, that cements in that, oh, yeah, now I get what they're talking about. Yeah, if I don't protect that puck, we don't get that chance. And, you know, those are the little teeny steps over and over again that have guys, especially offensive guys, buy into the philosophy that, you know, if you defend properly, you'll get your chances. Your team will get its chances. And I think we may look back, and that might be one of those plays that ends up being a very, very, very big play for Tim Stützle in over the course of his career, in that, you know, you look for those little signs where you can go back and say, you know, the day that he got this part of the game, that you could tell the day he got this part of the game. I think that play in L.A. might be one of those days in 5 years. You know, Tim Stützle, after that play, seemed to get more of that stuff. Maybe I'm wrong, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's one of those footstep plays, you know?
Well, with the injury to Forsberg, who knows if Talbot would have even have started against Vegas, but because it was a real tough night for him against San Jose, but plays well against Vegas and then plays well in the next two games, picking up a couple of wins. This is maybe an opportunity for him to kind of ride that strong play and just feeling good about his own game to get on a bit of a roll here personally.
I think so. You know, and you know, we've talked about this many, many times. This team, like a lot of teams, cannot win with average goaltending. It has to be above average goaltending. And ironically enough, Talbot has been above average, and the team has won a couple of games. You have to combine it with the fact that they got their number one and number two defenseman back again. But, you know, what a shock of all shocks. You get saves and you get your two best defensemen back, and you're a better team. You know, shock of all shocks. You know, system and structure, they can protect you from some things. But at the end of the day, saves is the biggest single thing in this league. Anybody will tell you, you know. You look each year, and the guy who wins the Jack Adams Trophy almost always has a goaltender that's a great goaltender in the league that year. It's just, you know, saves and production are the things, you know, one comes from the other. So I think that obviously they're happy that Talbot's on a very bit of a roll. This isn't a big role yet, you know. As a matter of fact, I don't know if it's long enough that we can even call it a role. But he's played very well in their last three games. And so I think, you know, if you're a DJ Smith, I think you may ride that for a while and just see how long that goes. Because, you know, I think one of the things that they have really struggled with so far this year has been consistency in goaltending. And as we've mentioned, this team is not good enough or deep enough to be able to be a good team without better than average goaltending.
Sens fans certainly were hoping at this point of the season their club would be in a much better place. Different expectation level, but I would say that Rangers fans are probably a little disappointed where they their team is at this stage. We're going to get a good look at them, Dean, tomorrow night at home and at New York coming up on Friday night. What's your pre-scout been telling you about the New York Rangers, where we had some fun preseason picks, like we all do. I had them in the Stanley Cup final, and they haven't looked like that kind of team yet so far this season.
Yeah, well, you know, if you look at back to last year, one of the reasons that people were so high on them is because of their defense. You know, they were scoring enough goals, and, you know, a great year for Panarin and a great year for Mika. And, you know, there's some guys who had some really good years. And, you know, you can't get around the fact that Chris Kreider probably had two of his, you know, best seasons in that, you know, he scored, I think, what, 52 goals? And he had, I think, 26 of them were power play goals. He may never be able to do that again in his career, and he certainly is probably. The odds are that he has that number of, you know, raw goals and that number of power play goals is almost next to impossible. But most importantly, I think, you know, when we talked last year about the New York Rangers, it was about Shesterkin, that by and large, through most of the year, most of the regular season, he was the best goalie in the world. And when he's not, when they're not, you know, they don't have Georgiev anymore, so that 1-2 Russian punch, well, one's not a Russian, but they're considered Russian. But anyway, that 1-2 punch was a big reason why they were so successful. They could build a lot of offense based on the fact they could gamble a bit because their goaltending and their defense were so effective. They're not terrible this year, but they're not at the same level as they were last year. And so, again, I know, ironically enough, when you don't get the saves, you don't get as many wins. And, you know, they're on a three-game losing streak right now. And for them, especially, you know, losing the last game the way they did to a team that, you know, last year couldn't sniff their boots, but now, you know, obviously is cleaning up on a lot of people in the league. But, you know, they're in a different place right now. And, again, you know, I hate to sound repetitive, but, you know, if you're not getting the saves in the defense, I'm not saying it doesn't matter what your offense does, but it is hard to have success in this league if you don't get saves. It really is just that simple. And like I said, structure and all those other buzzwords don't really matter much if you're not getting saves. You know, where the left winger stands, you know, on the breakout has no effect on can the goalie make that save on a 50-50 puck. So, you know, New York is not the same place they were last year in that perspective, and thus they're not the same place they were last year as far as the standings and production goes right now.
Back-to-back games where Ottawa will face teams that pick players ahead of Tim Stützle and Jake Sanderson in the draft. It didn't get to see Byfield the other night, but Lafreniere tomorrow, when you're doing your homework, I know that you're focused on calling the game, but when you do your homework and actually call the game tomorrow, are you interested to see where Lafreniere's game is at?
Yeah, just because, you know, Krejci is, you know, very, very high-profile guy and has not yet lived up to expectations, but I like what the Rangers are doing. They're continuing to put him out there, and just, you know, they believe that they made the right pick. They believe he's going to be an impact player, and they are determined to give him enough ice time for that to happen. You know, in the case of Byfield, I think the Kings are in a situation where, you know, we got to get him into a situation where he's going to have some success, or it's just going to damage his confidence to the point where he might not rebound from it. So, you know, they want to get him into the AHL so he starts getting some numbers and starts dominating a bit and try and work it that way. So two different approaches with two different teams. But Lafreniere seems like a more confident guy, and so I think he can take ups and downs better possibly. I don't really know him, but that's just what I've been told. And so, you know, I like the fact the Rangers are keeping him, put him back out there again. That's what Ottawa did. That's what DJ Smith did with, you know, with Tkachuk and with Stützle and with Batherson, you know, when they were young and making a lot of mistakes, and put them back out there again, put them back, you know, that's one of the ways that you develop players at the NHL level. You know, Ottawa gets a lot of praise, you know, for the amount of development that they have coming out of Belleville, as well they should. You know, that program, the AHL, the program the Senators have to develop players is a very good one. But that doesn't mean every player on this team gets developed in Belleville. You got to remember that, you know, DJ Smith and his coaching staff at the NHL level, they're the ones that have developed Tim Stützle into what he is. They're the ones that have developed Brady Tkachuk into a, you know, you start looking at development. Development isn't just in the AHL. And so, you know, a lot of the Senators' best players, and will be for a very long stretch of time, were developed in the NHL. And that's just sometimes the way it goes. Development happens wherever it happens.
I'm going to kind of repackage a common question here, Dean. You ready? Okay.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
This team is a much better team with Shabbat and Zub both back of the lineup. But this is still a team, and that we just that's proof of what happened there. The margin for error in terms of when injuries can and do happen, you take one key player off the blue line, and it looks drastically different. It just has not been deep enough, and this is why the general manager has been looking for a D for quite some time here. Here we go again. Here's my repurposing, repackaging of the same question over and over again. In terms of when this could happen, could it be connected to a certain deadline at 5 o'clock this Thursday with Alex Formanton as to how or when or if this team is going to make a deal to bring in a defenseman?
Maybe, there's no question, in when we're on the road, he's not going to tell you if you ask him, so you don't even bother with the question. But, Pierre Dorion is always on his phone. But you can tell, one of the things you can tell is if they're more sensitive conversations, because, when Pierre, every general manager is on his phone all the time. So simple comment. But it's when they're, around a couple of people, including their own people, and they take off to find a quiet, private place to have a conversation. That's generally when you know the conversation is more than just about, so what's happening down in Belleville? They're talking to an agent, they're talking to a GM, they're talking to somebody, and they're talking to somebody about something specific. And so I don't think there's any coincidence that, Ottawa is in a situation now where if Alex Formanton doesn't accept their latest offer by December 5 p.m. on December 1st, he does not play in the NHL this year. And if he plays at all, he's going to have to play in Europe. But Ottawa goes without an asset, They would, if they're not going to come to a deal with him, can he be a part of something else, or can he be part of another trade to, get an asset? And so, I don't think it's coincidence that that Pierre's on the phone a lot, having private conversations right now with that date looming. The date is consequential for the player, obviously, but it's also consequential for the team. They have a stagnant asset. He's an RFA, so even though he's a free agent, they control him. And if he's not going to play here, if he's not going to be an asset that they can get re-signed and playing here, then you have to look at what else you can do to create asset value from that asset, and whether it's packaging things up to try and make that long-awaited deal for a top 4D or something else. But the deadline, the clock is ticking for both the team and the player right now.
Last one for you. Do you expect a D to get called up tomorrow, Dean? They will be traveling on Thursday to go to New York, and they got the home game tomorrow. They only have the 6 right now after Thompson went down.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I would doubt it. I think probably more likely they would just call somebody up to go on the trip to New York, so you'd have an extra guy, mostly because they don't need to. They don't need a guy here for tomorrow. Belleville doesn't play until Friday, so it's almost better to have the guys down there keep practicing with their team rather than come up here with very little, if no expectation to play. So it wouldn't surprise me if they just have 6 for the game tomorrow night, and it wouldn't shock me if somebody gets called up to just be that extra for the New York trip and then right back again. But we'll see. Stranger things have happened, but I'm just not sure that with 6 healthy D and, Belleville just a couple of hours down the road, if somebody got the flu in the afternoon, I'm not sure if they really need to, but I would be surprised if they didn't take an extra D to New York, just because you always want to have an extra D and an extra forward in a perfect world when you're traveling, just in case. But it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't bother calling everybody up, because I believe all 6 of the D they have here are 100% healthy, or as close as you get when you're into the season.
All right, Dean. We'll cut you loose. Look forward to the game tomorrow night. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, I'm sure, picking up a vat of dog food or something like that, whatever actually, you're up to.
Yeah, actually, we have picked up some dog food. That's a good call right there.
You need a lot of it. Thank you, Dean.
All right, guys, thanks for calling.
There's Dean Brown joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll take you right up until 2 o'clock. Then we'll break away for a little World Cup play-by-play. Wales, England. Creature, have you seen the video of the fight?
Oh, of course.
The brawl.
Oh, my God. That one dude that got knocked down a couple times, then received some friendly fire.
The one guy,
tough night.
That guy was just, he's on something, hammered or both. He's fighting with the other side, and then he's getting a little bit of help from one guy, helps him out, and then he stumbles back to the same guy, and that guy decks him. Anyways, so that's what's been going on in the lead-up between Welsh and English fans, and we got the game for you coming up here at the top of the hour. Following that, two-hour edition of The Drive at 4, and we'll take you till 2 here on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
After a goal or starting lineup, something like that.
Okay. We should have asked Dean for his thoughts, but we didn't. But here are three texts that came in on that. Meow on goals. So is that you? Is that your number?
No.
No.
Josh says, I heard his name was Furball. Yeah, that's right, Josh, sure. Tiegler roar, maybe. Meow is not really intimidating.
I don't think it's supposed to be intimidating. And you're not, his nickname's not Tiger. It's the cat.
Okay.
Speaking his teammates meowed at him. There's teammates were meowing at him during that post-game interview. I think it's a good text.
Oh, that's common. You remember the dog? They'd bark at the dog.
I know. Hey. But that's what I'm saying.
They tell him to bark.
Day golf fans.
Whenever the dog would score, and he didn't score much, but he scored a little bit, he'd have to go by the bench and bark. Not only do the high fives, but he'd have to bark, and he'd do it. So maybe DeBrincat has to meow when he goes by the bench. Do they make him meow? Just like everybody's turned over since those days. But the teammates of the day made Kasper's dog of its bark when he went down the bench. All right. What a silly topic. So thank you for that text. You brought a bit of a silly topic to the show, which we're here for, as always. All right. We're taking you to the top. Then we're going to go to Wales, England, play-by-play. Then we've got a two-hour edition of The Drive still to come this afternoon, starting at 4. If you're just joining us, the Sens did have a full practice today. Derek Brassard did not practice. DJ Smith said, no, he's fine. He will play tomorrow night. It was just a maintenance day on that front. Anton Forsberg was out there. He actually met the media and said, he's feeling pretty good. It's just a minor thing as to why he didn't even dress, and that's why Mandalese was recalled and ended up backing up Talbot. So it's fully expect Talbot to continue to play tomorrow night against the visiting New York Rangers. And probably we're not anticipating any lineup changes, including on the blue line. Lassie Thompson was a healthy scratch against L.A., and then the word came down yesterday that when the team landed, he and Mandalese going back to Belleville. And that's what I asked Dean, the last one. The fact that you're at home, and that's the advantage of having your affiliate so close, they don't have to call up a D, but you know what? It's, as we know, there is a nice little flu's circulating around the city right now. I don't think you'd want to be caught shorthanded either, would you, Graham? What if somebody comes down at like 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon? Oof, not feeling too good.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they'd call somebody up tomorrow just in case, but I doubt they would mess with their lineup, if everybody's healthy and ready to go and stick with the same lineup to beat the Kings the other night.
Yeah, I think the one disappointing thing is obviously all injuries are disappointing, but would love to see. I thought JBD was playing pretty well at the time of the injury, and now with Shabbat and Zoo back in the lineup, and obviously an opportunity on that right side with Thompson and Holden in and out of the lineup, would love to see, would love to have seen him get like a 20 plus game look and to see if maybe he could be the option to solidify the six that are in the lineup for the most part every night. Obviously, that's not the case anymore. I thought Lassie Thompson had a strong start to his game in Vegas before getting walked a couple of times. I didn't think he played that well at a tough afternoon in Anaheim on the Friday, hence the healthy scratch. So disappointing in A, the injury to JBD, and B, maybe Thompson didn't kind of grab that spot and earn himself a much longer look. So that would be a disappointing part, but nice to have Shabbat and Zoo back in the lineup for sure.
All right, some other news we should go back to here. Pretty big contract signing in the NHL today. Rupe Hintz has landed an 8-year extension from the Dallas Stars, as he is now into his third straight season where he's tracking at close to or at a point a game. 26 years old, I guess a little bit of a late bloomer to become this kind of player, but not really. Not 26, so this is going to kick in when he's 27 years old next year. 8-year extension for Hinson. He is a huge part of that forward group, their number one center, and the chemistry that he has with Jason Robertson, who is second in the league in scoring, only to Connor McDavid, and then the ageless Joe Pavelski on the other side. So massive deal there for the Dallas Stars, who I guess you can only do four, right, for a web poll question. You know, Dallas is off to an excellent start this season. Like, there are more than just the four that we were able to put up there on the Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day, which is, which team has been the biggest surprise so far this season? 19-4 Devils, 18-3 Bruins, 16-5-3 Kraken, or the 13-6-1 Winnipeg Jets. But, you know,
Dallas. Did you answer that? I answered that. Did you end up answering that?
I forget, because I couldn't make up my mind, and I just did a random click just to see the answer. Honestly, I know, strong opinions here. I had a really tough time. So if you want to, okay, you want to pin me down?
Yeah,
to
I'm
it
pinning
now?
You down. I know you were going to go on to Dallas, but yeah. Let's get it. Let's get an answer here on the web pool.
I'll say the Bruins, and the reason why, because I was bullish on the Bruins having a bad start because of their injuries, yeah. Right?
Totally fair.
You know, I'll kind of call myself out at the same time.
Well, I think you're not alone in thinking that, especially you lose Marchand, who's one of the best forwards in the game, and Charlie McAvoy, a Norris Trophy candidate. You take those guys out of your lineup, and that's, I think that's, I mentioned Pittsburgh and Washington earlier. I think Boston gets lumped in with them too as a team that could potentially take a step back in the coming seasons. And to be missing those two players and to see the start they got was wild.
Where I was going to go with this here is I just noticed that Pierre LeBrun just put a bunch of numbers out this morning in his timeline. And he did the top 10 in NHL standings based on points percentage right now, as of today. Boston is 1 at 857. New Jersey is 826. Vegas at 729. Seattle is 4th at 690. The Leafs are at 688. Winnipeg, 675. Colorado is 658. Dallas is 652. That's where I was. I didn't think Dallas would be this good. The Islanders, 652. And then 10th place is the Tampa Bay Lightning playing at 643. So you look at that top 10 in points percentage, Graham. There's a lot of teams in that mix. Boston covered that. The Devils. The Devils were 10 points worse than Ottawa last season. Vegas. Yeah. Vegas with their goaltending. Is Logan Thompson going to be any good? Is Eichel going to be healthy? Is Stone? Yes, yes, and yes. So they're third. Seattle. Enough said. Right? I think we knew the Leafs. And you know what? I got to give the Leafs a ton of credit lately. You want to talk about banged up on the blue line. And they continue to win hockey games.
Yeah.
So the Leafs have the fifth best. Winnipeg. Wheeler stripped to the captaincy. Dubois doesn't want to be there long term.
Bonus comes traded.
In. They're six, right? Yeah. Stanley Cup champions are seventh. No surprise. Dallas, new coach, turnover. All right. Islanders, after their start last season, ninth. Like, in that top 10, there's just alone, there's so many different ways you could go. You could add more teams to the mix to our web poll question, basically, and you would get some votes for some of those other teams. By the way, I went and looked at that top 10 list. The Sens have played 9 games collectively against those teams in the top 10, and they're 2-6-1, 1-3-1 versus the top three. All right, we're back in a moment to wrap on In the Box on TSN 1200. All right. Well, that's pretty much going to do it.
Did you know
we're cheering for Wales, aren't we? It's go Welsh. Come on.
Did you know that Gord drives to the rink every day? He has this song on a loop. Every time he comes to the rink, that's what he listens to over and over and over.
I don't believe you. It's Delilah.
Could be.
And then maybe a little It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones.
Maybe he has like a 5-song playlist that he just shuffles over and over and over.
And as he pulls in and he's just about to park, the Shaft theme comes on as he opens up the door. And then he makes sure he has it on his phone so he can continue to listen to it on his walk into the rink.
Ah, you know that there's for sure a track from, what's it called? Why am I blanking on the name of his favorite movie? Dirk. Come
Boogie
on.
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, there we go. Yeah. Boogie Nights is on there for sure, too.
All right. Told you we're done. We got to get out because there's a brief pregame show. Wales, England coming up next here. World Cup action on TSN 1200. We're back to do this again. Same time tomorrow, in between a couple of World Cup matches. It'll be a Sens game day. Sens and Rangers tomorrow night. So we'll be on between 12 and 2. The aforementioned Gord Wilson will join us for his game day Wednesday hit as our Sens and NHL insider. Don't forget, following the World Cup match coming up next, an abbreviated edition of The Drive to follow today on TSN 1200 coming up at 4.
Oh.
All right, Kenny's kicking us off. Bye-bye.
I'm going to sign off here.
My watch is ended.
Wanted to let him know his fun's done.
Three words.